Let's call this meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:31 p.m. It is Monday, February 12, 2018. Before we begin, I want to thank Christy Blair, the House Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Kelsey Goodell from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Representative Kopp, Representative Christ Tompkins acting as vice chair, Representative Millett, who is here as an alternate for Representative Reinbold, and myself, Representative Kleiman. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Our first order of business today is House Bill 315, Confidentiality of Animal and Crop Records, sponsored by the House Rules Committee by request of the governor. This is the second hearing of the bill in the Judiciary Committee. On Monday, the committee heard a presentation from Dr. Bob Gerlach, the state veterinarian at the Division of Environmental Health, and Christina Carpenter, director of the Division of Environmental Health. And actually, as an aside, Representative Kopp, we were talking about the Gerlachs from Glen Allen, and there was a citation on the floor today about two of the kids. And I thought, oh, this is who Representative Kopp was telling us about. Since that, and I had context, it meant nothing about absent your comments on Friday. Since that meeting, the committee has received a memo on the topic of the Alaska Grown program and how it relates to the bill. The committee had further questions, and today we hope to hear from a representative from the Department of Law who works with DNR, and I believe she is on the line. So actually, we'll move that directly to Joan Wilson from the Attorney General's office in Anchorage. Ms. Wilson, are you on the line?
Yes, Chair Kleiman.
And I'd recognize that Representative Eastman has joined us. Ms. Wilson, there had been some questions about the intersection between this program and the Alaska Grown program and how many times the Attorney General's office has been involved in enforcement actions that are civil enforcement actions involving the Alaska Grown program. Could you give us a little background on how on enforcement regarding that particular program?
Yes, sir.
And state your name for the record and your affiliation, even though we've told you, we already know you're with the Attorney General's office, but we still need you to say that.
Hi, my name is Joan Wilson. I'm an assistant attorney general. I advise the Division of Aquaculture with DNR. The question about enforcement really relates to the division and the department's interest in the Made in Alaska program, and in essence, what it is the trademark that the state holds. When farmers or ranchers want to have their product carry that logo, they apply to the division for a license, and under that license, they agree to, one, use the logo accurately. For example, for livestock, that livestock has to be grown and raised in Alaska for 6 months. So really our enforcement action, should someone attempt to violate it, is to withdraw the trademark, or withdraw their use of the trademark and withdraw their licensing right to it. We haven't seen a civil enforcement action, nor have we seen any kind of criminal action. It would be a stretch to turn a claim like misrepresentation into a criminal act, but good prosecutors can do many things. But in essence, it's going to be our effort to protect the trademark. Now, if people have concerns about misuse of the trademark, what they do is they contact us, and by us, I mean the Division of Agriculture, and we work directly with the rancher and or the seller of the game to make sure there's been no misuse of the trademark. If they have concerns that there are, the step is withdrawing their participation in the program.
Thank you very much. I think the main person that had questions about enforcement actions in the program is Representative Eastman. Representative Eastman, do you have questions for Ms. Wilson?
Thank you. Through the chair. I know that the department is very limited in terms of resources that it has. Have there been talks about allocating additional resources so that some of those enforcement actions or prosecutions might take place in the future?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, I can't say that there have been talks to date. I also haven't heard that enforcement of this program has caused, you know, concern that we either, that the division either doesn't have the staff or the expertise. Again, the main attempt is to make sure it's simply not an error on someone's part, and they really try to develop a cooperative educational relationship with our farmers and our ranchers to make sure that trademark is being used appropriately.
Follow-up.
Representative Eastman.
And if if you could speak to this, I'd be very interested. If I'm a business owner and I'm, you know, selling meat that may have come from, you know, Alaska-grown products, may not have, but, you know, I want to demonstrate my pride in being Alaskan, and I have, you know, a label behind the counter that says Alaska-grown, but then I've got, you know, meats from, you know, one place and meats from Alaska and, you know, a variety. Would the department look at that as a violation, or would that be a cause of concern, or would that simply be interpreted as, you know, I'm proud to be an Alaskan?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, so is the situation you're discussing here, if someone is selling Alaska meat, say, at a supermarket or a grocery store, is that the scenario here?
Representative Eastman, you should clarify your question. I will recognize that Representative Ledoux has joined us. Go ahead, Representative Eastman, if you could clarify.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of if, you know, I'm selling meat, some of which are Alaska-grown and some of which aren't, and I still, you know, want to demonstrate my pride for Alaska-grown things, and so I just have a, you know, an Alaska-grown label kind of, you know, somewhere in my store, would that be considered a violation or not?
You mean the question, if I, what I think Representative Eastman's asked, if he's got some pork that fits within the Alaska-grown definition and some pork that doesn't fit within the Alaska-grown definition, and there's a sign that says Alaska-grown in the shop, is he violating the trademark from your perspective?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, yes. We actually have had that circumstance happen before and have worked with the retailer to make sure that they're properly advertising material. Again, the first approach is, you know, to assume mistake and work with entities so that they credibly and correctly use that label. In your scenario, I'd have to see if the producers themselves hold trademarks. In most cases, the farmer or the rancher, I'd be concerned about any licensing like that, and I think Director Keyes would agree as well, and that when it has been in a commercial enterprise like that, they do actually have to be licensed to even carry that sign to advertise the meat.
I follow up.
Representative Eastman.
Let's
hold you to about two or three more questions on this because we're getting pretty far afield from the topic matter of this.
I think this should be the last question.
Excellent. Go ahead.
In summary, I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the department is focused on preventing future violations and maybe not as focused on you know, holding people to task or pursuing sanctions for something that is brought to their attention, even if it might be a violation. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, if I gave that impression, let me apologize to you. No, we take the trademark seriously. We hold the trademark, and we have the responsibility for enforcing it. Just because our first attempt is an education doesn't mean if it gets further down the line or that someone really is using that trademark nefariously doesn't mean that we're not going to withdraw their license to use of that trademark.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions from the committee about the bill? I think we've worked it over pretty well. Any further comments about the bill? Representative Eastman.
Thank you. I guess my only comment would be, having looked at the information that's going to become confidential, I think there's a lot of information that there's good reason for it to be confidential, but I don't see a good reason for making confidential whether or not an item has been imported to Alaska.
Okay. And I guess that actually brings us now to final comments from the committee. Is there anybody that would like to make any final comments with regard to this before we take a motion up?
Mr. Chairman, just
Representative Kopp, go ahead.
Yeah, in summary, I think the reason why this is a good piece of legislation is because it will increase reporting of possible health hazards to the public, whether they deal with animals or crops. We heard our state veterinarian said the whole goal is to increase reporting, but because of competitive practice, there's a big disincentive and to do that. So I think that the whole confidentiality thing is they've crafted it right, where if in fact a health hazard is found to exist, then it does become public, and there are ways to get that disclosed. But the fact that you are dealing with a state veterinarian and going over crop and animal health data is confidential unless there is a hazard that's found otherwise that pushes that out in the public record. And I think we're on the right track with this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. I don't see any other comments, and I have none myself. Representative Christ Tompkins, you're acting as vice chair. I have a motion.
I move version 30-GH2584/A of HB 315 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Objection.
There is an objection. Madam Secretary, if you would please call the roll.
Representative Christ Tompkins?
Yay.
Yay. Representative Ledoux?
Yes.
Yay. Representative Miller?
Yes.
Yay. Representative Fansler, not present. Representative Eastman?
No.
Yay. Representative Stutes, not present. Representative Reinfold, not present. Representative Kopp?
Yay.
Yay. Chair Klayman?
Yes.
Yay. 5 yays, 1 nay.
So by a vote of 5-1, House Bill 315 moves from committee. We will take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Our second and final order of business today is House Bill 316, Restrict Access to Maryland.